cliffcentral.com. Eric, what time is it?
It is time for Just Now Comedy Podcast. I forgot this part.
No, welcome back. It's fine. You haven't been here for a while because you had a real job.
I've been away for a month, but I'm back, cool. Baby. I'm here.
Are you back, baby?
Yeah, I'm back, baby.
Okay, where were you, by the way? That could be part of comedy news.
I was working and stuff.
Okay, cool.
No, I'm joking. I was out in Botswana for a week. I'm lying, for a day. I couldn't be there for a week.
What is Botswana like?
Way too dry. It's dry and boring, and Gaborone is the size of Rega Park.
But your ancestors are Khoisan?
Yes.
So why didn't you embrace the place?
I mean, those are my ancestors. I speak English now. I have no idea how to click my tongue the way they did. So they're winning. They won at life.
Did you have to store your water in a calabash? And
No. Okay, it wasn't that dry. I didn't go to the safari. Like, it wasn't that bad. It was just like a really boring town that had like...
And your comedy vibes there? What were you doing there? Was that the promo?
It was a gala dinner. I was convinced that it was going to be a crazy like 1,000 people type thing. Yes. There were 30 people in the audience.
Oh, no, man.
Yeah. And most
the 1,000 things are nice if they're seated in a stadium, but not at a dinner table.
No, but the thing is, they made it sound amazing because the lady was like, yeah, there's going to be a radio interview. Yeah, there's going to be this. There's going to be that. You're going to answer a couple of questions. People are going to win tickets to come to this gala dinner. And I was like, what?
This is
incredible. And then I get there and there's 30 people. It's just like, yeah, this is gay.
Sorry,
this
man.
This is lame as
But that's kind of what people, young comics, think. It's all rock and roll and Hollywood.
No, but that's the thing. If you're going to hype it up that way, at least make it something, it something similar. And then after that, I went to Cape Town and I did a golf day.
Man, you did a golf day?
Man, did what? I destroy that golf day. Yeah. 6 ways to Sunday. You don't even know, Dave. You don't even know.
No, I have no idea about what golf
Dave,
day
Dave
is.
Knows exactly what golf day is.
Yeah.
No, the golf day was dope. The golf day was absolutely incredible. Nobody was drunk and I was on first. So, you know, normally they do the prize giving and then the comedian goes on once everyone has figured out they haven't
terrible.
Won. Yeah,
but no, did you insist on that? You say, I want to go on first.
No, the dude was just like, I'm going to put you on first.
And you also other comedians or just
no,
you?
Just me. Look and also, I had to leave. I went from there to Sergeant Pepper. So I went from a killer gig to death. I just
but I'm
died
digging, man. All I'm digging is the vibe of, I did gigs. I was in Botswana, then I was Sergeant Pepper. I took off there. Means we're working and we're paying our rents.
Yeah.
And then Ryan Holiday is back.
He's back.
Is there any reason why you're back?
Other
than
when
I said,
Eric.
Please come back.
Yeah. Other than I said, hey, Eric, please can I come back to the phone call?
Bugatti Ndubi was going to join us. He opened for Barry Hilton.
Yeah, he did.
Where was that?
He did. That was at Parker's on Wednesday night. Okay. Yeah. He said it was dope. And he said Barry Hilton
but that's
loves him.
For a young comic, Barry Hilton loves him. Now. For a young comic, that's like a guy working, a chef working with Jamie Oliver. It's like huge. So you could be disappointed. But I mean, it's Parker's, the guys that come there to see Barry Hilton, and you up there, you got that audience, is all yours. And Bongani is, he can deliver.
Yeah, so and he signed his first autograph, I believe. So
Bongani signed his first autograph. On who?
Yeah,
Barry Hilton's boobs.
He didn't say who.
Can you still sign boobs these days in a post Harvey Weinstein era? Can we still sign boobs?
I think you're allowed to, but you have to wear like a surgical glove and be inside a bubble.
Yeah.
Isn't and it? The coke, it needs to be like antiseptic and all these other fancy.
But I've signed man
a,
boobs. Is
it can
that
only
okay?
be a silver.
Was that school harassment?
I don't actually know.
So weird.
You
man.
Have signed man boobs?
No, I've signed my own boobs.
They signed
just for
right
Instagram.
Now.
I shaved them. I shaved them so they look less manly.
Actually, the first time I came out, Dave insisted that he signed my boobs. Has he signed yours yet?
Nah. I don't know. He used the ink like a proper tattoo gun on me, so I'm
Your boob is signed. What is that? It looks like a... Is that a comedy thing?
Yeah, it's the masks of tragedy and comedy.
Jeepers, you
I'm
committed,
committed
to this
I'm
shit,
super
man.
Committed, man. I'm doing
and
this
then also, Bernard... Am I saying Bernard Goodman? Am I saying it right?
Yeah, generally, that's fine. Thank
How
you.
Are you? Come closer to the microphone. Let's hear you.
I'm good. Okay. Nice to be here. Thanks
for
the invite.
I'll tell you who you are, but you can also tell us who you are. We met a long time ago when I was a magazine designer, and a man called Theo Rudman wanted to do a magazine about cigars and whiskey and good living and cars and things. The magazine didn't take off. There isn't a better version of that out now. But he was ahead of his time.
Yeah, Theo, the late, great Theo, was a wonderful guy. And I got into cigars through him. And Theo was a raconteur, a lover of life.
He did. He had amazing stories, which you had to listen to.
He spoke, his after-dinner speech was about 2 hours. But he was very clever because he plied you with port and whiskey first, then gave you a couple of very fat cigars. So you didn't mind sitting for a couple of hours listening to Theo because you were entertained.
Incredible man. Yeah. And also, he shadowed me a lot for every kind of design I ever did. And eventually, we got it right. We shot stuff with cigars. And also, my knowledge of cigars, whiskey, cognac, cars generally, sports cars, modern, classic, old cars, whatever, that was through him.
Yeah.
And then you were a writer for us on the whiskey side.
I did a lot of writing for you guys. I did a lot of smoking cigars with Theo. And it's been a lot of fun. And we drink beer together occasionally. And you we drink and whiskey.
Well, the last time we drank a beer together, we have something on this show called Breakfast Beer Club, which isn't a real club. And we're not allowed to drink beer in the studio. So we'll just do it afterwards. Okay. But it was basically talking about how comedy and... It's not comedy and alcohol. Ryan, do you drink?
No.
Have you been to one of those gigs where they give you... Oh, really? Have you stopped?
Year and a half. Yeah, I stopped.
Are you like one of those proud year and a half?
I am one of those proud because my behavior...
There's a song for you.
Hell no. Put it down, man.
So now tell me your story. Is it
heavy? Yeah, so year and a half, no booze, not one sip of booze.
Well done.
Yeah.
I did that last night. It's been tough. At a whiskey festival, I never drank. I drank a cup of coffee. And you can't actually do that. I still went around, spoke to the people. I enjoy brands. I enjoy the-ness of a festival. Like, I loved seeing the way the things were built and the way they do things. I mean, they built a little house for the one brand. Yeah.
The only thing is they lose their shit when you ask them for something they don't serve. So you like, can have a cup of coffee. Then they go,
No, this coffee guy was so smart, man. Did you see the little coffee?
Yeah,
little,
he was right opposite me. Yes, very busy stand.
A little Foxy bus.
Yeah.
The smartest guy. Because he was actually putting a bit of whiskey in his coffee. So he wasn't stupid. He had the Bullet, I think, brand was there that would...
The Bullet Bourbon, yeah, it's great. So you make a sort of Irish coffee the American way and you add bourbon to coffee.
I just didn't feel like, you know what, if you need is for the JMPD to go, oh, there's a whiskey festival, let's catch some idiots. So I hate driving home sober with my license up to date, my windscreen's just been fixed, my tires are all lacquer, and not one fucking roadblock. It's not right.
We're ready to get coffee with them.
You know when your teacher says, right, we're going to read page 17 to page 85, and we're going to test tomorrow. And you read pages, and you study the thing, and you do some extra work, and then she forgets to do the test. And then you say, are you not going to do the test today? She's like, no, sorry, there's no time. You're like, fucking...
And then you make a stand and never study again. Never prepare for anything again.
The only time I studied was today, and you don't
because test. That was my so the festival's on now. We can't talk about that now because no one's going to understand it in a week's time. But what I liked about it was, and what I like about you is our conversations always end up in quite a deep place.
Well, whiskey is very good for creating deep and meaningful discussions. And you know,
time did you leave on Wednesday night?
Wednesday, our discussions finished at about 4. But you know, we had a bit of whiskey. We were discussing. No, but we were sampling. Please don't judge me. We were sampling. It was a lot of fun. We all had different whiskeys, and you know, from different countries in the world. So we have
who's making? Obviously, we think of Scotland and Ireland as the leaders. Who's making great whiskies out of that zone?
Scotland, Ireland, South Africa, Japan, really? Taiwan, America, even Australia and New Zealand are making.
America getting out of the bourbon vibes and making proper grain, malty, great whiskies.
The Americans making bourbon's the main thing, but they make a lot of single malts as well. There's a lot of micro distilleries that have opened up. So there's the science behind, you know, some of the craft gins and what you do with the beer. Bar, guys are doing whiskey properly, and they're starting to get the product out there and into the main market, which is cool.
I saw something last night, I wouldn't say expensive, but it was called, Blair Athol.
Blair Athol.
Now, there's a golf course called Blair Athol down the road here, but it was $7,500.
Yeah.
Is that one of those baby ones, or is that big?
That's a fair amount of money to pay for whiskey, but there's a lot of history. I mean, the Blair Athol comes from the Blair Castle in Scotland. So if you become a keeper of the quake, which is like getting a knighthood in Scotch whiskey, and they give you a special kilt.
You've got his attention now.
Do you want to wear a kilt?
Maybe.
Have you seen what Eric wears? Do you think a kilt's not a bad thing for him to wear?
Yeah, geez, look at these legs.
I think, you know, a kilt, it's pretty big concept. A kilt with those socks, it'll go down very well. So luminous socks.
The keeper of the quake, spell that? Spell the quake part?
Q-U-A-I-C-H. Okay. It's, you know, it's like when we sit and drink, we each have our own glasses, our own cups.
Yes.
So a quake is it's a drinking vessel. It's a two-handed drinking vessel. Okay. So you pass it around to your mates. It's like passing other stuff around to your
friends.
Well,
we do that. Yeah. Have you stopped doing that, Ryan?
No.
I like it. There's a 12-step program. You did 11.
I just want to enjoy my life.
It's the left by day, right by night rule. And you have to say, right. Salute Rastafari.
Okay, so it gets a little bit of rules, and I like those things, man. When we play those games like coinage, and then may I point Alice at the chalice, those kind of, have you ever been to Screen Sleeves?
Nah.
And they have this weird fake evening where it's supposed to be medieval times, and they choose a king and a queen. I didn't get into it, and then the company I was working for did it. They said, you are the MC for the thing, and then they're going to introduce you to the guy that's in charge. The people got into it so quickly. There are, I love those little drinking rules.
There's a lot of tradition. I mean, there's a huge amount of tradition involved in whiskey. But the thing that I try to do with people is, let's forget the rules about whiskey, other than, of course, drinking responsibly. And you'd say, don't have to drive around Joburg and
look for trouble and
look
stuff.
Look for trouble. That's which what you don't want to do. Runs but our, you can moral look for trouble with the socks, but in the kilt, which is concerning.
But just walk into the wrong place wearing these socks.
Just forget all the rules. Drink whiskey anywhere you want to drink it. So if you want to add ice or water or lemonade or coffee or drink it with green tea, it's fine. With do it.
We're going to get back to those things because I found a similarity while I was walking around there last night, and then also just chatting to you in general about stuff. That there is a comedy correlation. I know it sounds weird. We're going to find it. So I've got I found my book that I'm going to test you on.
Oh my gosh!
But we have a news, comedy news.
Cool.
It's not real news. Because it's done by Eric.
Fake news.
And he basically Googles some shit.
Yes, that's what he's doing right now.
I've got three items that I want to speak about. So I'll start off with MTN have won a court case in a Nigerian court where they said the money that left the country, repatriated money, in the billions, I don't know how much, like a lot of money, billions, was SIM cards that was done and things and contracts and things, and that money came back to South Africa and it's now cool, we can keep it.
Okay.
So that's weird. Like a Nigerian, did we email the Nigerians and try that scam on them? And they were like, yeah, okay. How much do you need? A couple of billion?
What is it? A 4? Okay. What just send us
419. The 419 scam,
So MTN pulled the scam on Nigeria without even the email. It's just like legit.
Retribution.
Genius.
So that's our guys. So that's us. And MTN are also yellow, so we like to keep
up. Yeah, I keep it yellow. Maybe if they want.
We're behind you, MTN.
Yellow and mellow.
At least this goes out on some sort of some
airwave.
Airways. Yeah. I don't know. Someone does.
If you have MTN, you can listen to this podcast.
That's exactly. We do want people. And also, before the news, tell us how to get hold of us.
Okay, so what you can do is you can hit us up on the WhatsApp line. The number is 0797482090. Michelle Cornelius.
Yeah,
Rob,
Cornelius Schenkeville. That's his name, Schenkeville. He's already said, Dave Levinson, Cliff Central, Just Now Comedy, welcome back.
I forgot to say your
name, Eric.
Thank you. Wow.
You put me in the studio alone for like 3 weeks.
Wow. I didn't put you here alone.
Brandon
fucked
off.
Just happened. And then Brandon also just made his own cucks happen. So yeah, that's what happened. So yeah, that's where you can contact us on the WhatsApp line. Or you can tweet us. The number again, 0797482090.
So put that in your phone and save it.
As Cliff Central.
Do you want the news music?
News music.
All right, let's.
The news That's
not the news.
That would have been so cool if you had it off. So. The water polo coach has been accused. That guy. Guy's like, what is this thing now? This has become the new craze. So the news is that the man has...
I wouldn't say it's a craze. I think it's been done since the Greek days.
No. But it's been blown out of proportion now. Like it looks like everybody's doing it now.
Yeah. I think it is the new bomb that's gone off, like a sexual bomb.
So many people have come out saying this person and this person touched me inappropriately. Do something about it. So there's a water polo coach at some school who has 160 cases of alleged... like sexual harassment and touching young boys.
How many cases?
Between the ages of 15 and 16. So 15 and 16 year olds are in trouble. They're getting more than what they're bargaining
for. Cut it.
Yeah. So
That's the news. And where, I don't want to say there's a comedy in there, but where is the comedy in there?
Where's the comedy in there?
It's like a writer's meeting. I'm afraid a man touching the kids at the water polo, nothing funny there.
How does
what
that
I want to know is
you?
At school, we always, I'm not saying. We knew who the dodgy teachers
were. Yeah, we knew who the dodgy teachers were. Yeah. So
and I'm not saying
stay away from
that him. The guys that did it, there were three or four folks that were always after school in his car, driving around, going to his house, having tea, and coming home and saying, we went to... And I'm like, bruh, what are you doing? So I'm not saying... And those kids were easily influenced or something, but someone had to say to them, guys, this is not right for to tell the kid, because the kid's being groomed.
Yes.
It's not the kid's vibe, but kids also the kid's going, I'm getting a one-on-one with an adult. We're talking about school things, but we're also having a little bit of fun in the pool afterwards.
Yeah.
So many kids, and not one of them going, hey, this looks not cool.
Yeah. No, but
it
what
comes
happened?
Out now, there should be one case of things.
I was just
going to
say, there was one case of actual raping. That was the kid that came out, and then there.
Sorry, me. Okay.
So he was the one that went, yo, man, this is not supposed to be happening. So he told his parents.
And then the other one said, I've also had some stuff.
Arrested. And then obviously because of that became the stream.
Do you remember a movie called School of Rock?
Yes.
Jack Black, he goes, I just wanted to invite the parents here. And he's like so excited about the music program. And he says, you know, it's really been for me as a musician. And I've touched all your kids. And the parents, and it's like, and I've touched the parents as well. And they're like, everyone's going, you have to stop talking. So last night, I had to hand out stuff at the 94.7. I handed out jerseys for the guys that have done it for more than X amount of times.
Okay.
And I also said, and you know, it's really good because I think I've touched the cyclists in so many ways. And then look at me, because I'm joking, because I'm like, I couldn't help it, man. Those fucking lycra pants. I just want me some cyclists. Even an ugly fat cyclist looks hot. So I've really touched the cyclists.
Yes.
Anything
Here's
else?
The thing, though. Kids nowadays are so sexually aware very young. Like, how does it take so long to come That's out? It. You know what
so
I mean?
So if you're 15 yes. and you've got all wrong. The access to internet, you've watched yeah. porn way earlier than we had yeah. to with your dad's fucked up Playboy magazine under the yeah, bed. Yeah. Bernard?
No, we Playboy. Had Scope.
Scope, there you go. Scope. Yeah. So that even then, your sexual awareness yeah. was based on the fact that women's nipples had stars on.
Mm. Yeah.
So now this kid, let's take him, let's put him in a bracket. Say you've had the awareness of things. Plus, there's cases coming out all the time. They're in mainstream news, where they used to be in underground news. It was always like, keep quiet, this politician, that prince, that priest. It was always underground. I was touched by Prince, man, and I fucking loved it.
The fear factor, I think, is gone because kids are much more confident and they're still available.
Oh,
to
so
that.
They are yes. going into it, going, well, I've seen this on the thing, so almost. The opposite way, like we're educating them, and then they're going, okay, well, let's see what let's this is all about. This.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, man. It's a weird thing.
Yeah,
but
Ryan, in other news,
so in your drinking days, did you ever
coach
water polo?
Is that why you was it a year and a half ago? When was this case? They haven't named the guy.
No, it's
Can
now.
Can I tell you
it's
something?
Now.
Your career, okay, there's things, okay, racism, anything sexism, anything Islam, and then obviously the sexual thing. These are things. Career ending. There's no way of coming back.
No, definitely.
Harvey Weinstein cannot get a job at Dunkin' Donuts. That sounds sexual already.
Spacey's finished.
Spacey, really one of my favorite actors. Yeah. And you kind of that power that an actor has got. So the kid that he was with, also 14, 15, on the set, you're so overwhelmed by this Hollywood star, and he's like, he's getting his. And also, someone else said to me, he said, "But Dave, think about." A gay lifestyle, like most of the gay guys, you know, they're sexually they're sexually aware, and they're very like openly. So now you think, is Kevin Spacey the only gay in the village? Like
nope.
They are hammering. So I can't think of words. They're hammering this guy,
the only gay in the very gay village.
It can't be the only guy. And also, like, hammering. Where are his gay lesbian community people going? Hey, Kevin, we're behind you. We understand what it's like to have an urge or have something go wrong. That can't be the only guy.
No,
and now just get
not.
This one guy, Kevin Spacey, and say, well, you the guy, thank you very much for taking the heat off the rest of the guys.
Yeah.
And straight guys. I wouldn't just say it's gay guys that are promiscuous.
Guys in general.
But then it'd be, there's cases coming out now of Hollywood producer, female producers, also having a guy come in there and say, you're not going to get this part unless you start licking.
It happens in the corporate world as well.
Also nice to lick like that, because then you have to lick your finger to turn the script.
Wow.
Oh, man, we're going down.
So, before the whiskey.
Right. So the second
other
news. Second news story.
Fourth news story.
Fourth news story. Louis C.K. has been accused of allegedly sexually harassing 5 female comedians because they all came out and they were like, yes, either on the set of Louis or in another instance.
But now,
seen him
all of those have been squashed
heard
now.
Him masturbating in front of, and he didn't comment because he knows that.
No, but also it's now the case is stopped because they're saying it's hearsay.
So
if someone is masturbating from you, film it.
Yeah, then you'll have proof that they were doing the thing. Okay, third news story. Fourth news story. Josh Groban to start rapping next week.
He's like, how does he know he's going to start rapping next week? Because I'm like, I'm going to start rapping. You want to rap now? I'm going to start next week.
You know when
you give up drinking? When are you going to stop? Monday. How do you know he's going to start rapping? What's he done up till now?
He's not going to start rapping. He's got
You're making
Netflix.
Up new stories. And next week, Chris Brown is going to stop hitting chicks.
Yeah, Chris Brown.
That's long overdue. Chris Brown
to become a pastor. No, Josh Groban and Tony Danza to star in a new Netflix series. That's just the headline.
Who's the Josh?
Do you not know Josh Groban, the guy that's saying?
No, I'm saying it's who's the boss. It's a joke by Tony Danza.
Oh,
I made a funny joke.
Hey, well done. Look at you.
That's how you're supposed to do this.
Then,
you're supposed to make the news and then we make a joke
and
then
we riff on it. That's how it works.
And then the last item of news. This happened a while ago, but I forgot. Like, I wasn't here to mention it. Ed Sheeran broke his hand before a concert.
Okay.
And then he couldn't do the concert. And then somebody.
Why can't he? Because he plays guitar. Get someone else to play the chords.
No, but like he couldn't do the thing because like he broke his hand.
And painkillers.
He had a skiing accident or something. Broke his hand. And then somebody went on Twitter and they're like, when your hands don't work, like they used to before.
No.
That's comedy. We need them at this podcast.
Ed Sheeran basically writes songs for anyone that's getting married. Yeah. You can. What are you getting married? What song do you want? Just play anything by Ed Sheeran. It's fine.
I'm in love with the shape of. No, not that one. Too hypey. We're not at
you
the
know
job.
Ed Sheeran songs.
This is a sad wedding.
When your rounds legs the shape. Like
shame, man. So people making fun of him. He was on a bicycle. It's Bono fell on a bicycle. Also couldn't do a tour.
Accident.
Basically, if you're a celebrity, don't fucking ride a bicycle. Perhaps not. Do you have a bicycle?
No.
Have you ever done the Argus?
Dave, look at me.
Can't profile like that.
I write stories about whiskey.
No, I wake up too late for the Argus every time. I try.
The newspaper or the race? They do have a late edition as well.
Yeah, I know, but it's, I have very bad knees. That's my excuse.
I've never seen your knees.
No. I'll wear a kilt next time.
Okay, cool.
I've got cool knees.
So that when I looked at this festival, and not only those, also the beer festivals, even any craft festival. Now, what I see is at the craft markets, there's vegetables and there's things. There's what they call parity, where your vegetables are the same as mine. Yeah. And they're sitting right next to each other. So what happens is the craft owner who does it won't have a nacho stand next to another nacho stand. They'll have steak rolls and then wooden toys and whatever it is. So this thing last night, you call yourself an independent?
Yeah, I'm independent. I work for all different whiskey companies. So I have the pleasure. My job is to go around South Africa, around the world, talking about whiskey and other spirits, brandy, cognac, tequila, gin. But so last night I was working at the Glen Grant stand, which is a Scottish single malt whiskey. And we have a great vibe there. People come along and they say, Bernard, please pour some whiskey in a glass for me and tell me about it. So... it's nice because you can educate people and you drink a bit of whiskey with them. And you chat, you share the love, you share the spirit and the passion for whiskey. That's from 6 till 10. And then before and after, like today, I'm meeting some guys for lunch.
But not, is this better for the... This is more
this sounds
the,
more whiskey.
This is more whiskey.
Yeah. I agree.
Are we going to have lunch? Can we have a little taster after this?
Absolutely.
Where do you have them in? I don't want to say. Do you have whiskey in your hotel room?
I'm not inviting you to my hotel room, Dave. We know.
Ryan,
well,
can you come and film
it,
please? I am going to masturbate.
we're going to go sit.
What we do? No, but what we do seriously now? You know, this is a comedy show, but we have to drink whiskey properly. So we sit and put like six whiskies together side by side and compare them.
Okay.
And how do you compare? You have to taste them.
Yeah.
So you got to do it properly. So we taste them properly. Ryan, you can't come. You can watch. You can
film
it if you want.
Could Ryan spits. He can Ryan spits and not swallow.
Yeah, you don't have to swallow.
What? This is going south.
Can you, Ryan? Are you allowed any alcohol in your body?
No, it's like a mental thing, you know?
Okay,
it's
good.
Like a...
All right.
No, so we sit and we drink, but, you know, we do it in a very intelligent way. We start at whiskey number one and we finish at whiskey number six. And that's how we work it. So we're going to go have some lunch and have a bit of whiskey. And then after the show, we have a bit of whiskey as well.
And who are the guys at lunch with you? Are they, when you talk about, okay, we want to grow the brand and get people, WhatsApp is off. Oh, boy.
It isn't. You're just not reading them.
It's on. If you invite someone to that thing, are you invited or then are you inviting them?
Where to the lunch
people?
To the show.
Are they customers you want to impress? Are they people? Are they clients like with you? Because we'd have a comedy dinner with someone. We want to use their comedy club for something.
Yeah, we don't.
Do you want to get it into sales? Are there whiskey bottle stores?
I don't go out trying to like invite people to impress. I just say, listen, let's go have a whiskey.
Yeah,
and we can just sit and talk shit and see what happens. And the thing is that there's a big wide world of whiskeys out there. So what I like to do is get people involved in the flavors. Never mind the alcohol. So move past the alcohols, think about the flavors of the whiskey.
I did notice one of the brands there had full on, it was all about flavor. So they had pears, apples, leather, peaches, nuts, raisins, all these things. And they said, like, taste some of these things because you're going to taste them in the brand as well.
Yeah. So. And that's a perfect way to do it. So people visually, they see something because it's difficult to describe flavor.
Yeah.
Unless you're a chef or used to drinking whiskey.
Or you're Helen Keller.
Or you're Helen Keller.
Can't describe him.
She's blind. She's blind. You can't make blind jokes either. You got to move away.
What
from
I like about you, Bernard.
Blind
is not
blind.
You brought intelligence to the show, and you notice we don't know what to do now.
You're so yeah.
I don't know what. Look at my hand.
He's talking full on sense.
So you can't talk about disabled. You can't talk about the physically challenged.
Well, maybe we should cancel the last year of this podcast. So hang on. So let's talk
if
about.
If you're deaf, you can't talk about it. Well, they can't. It's a radio show.
I knew that was coming.
So you're independent. I'm just trying to work it out with comedy because you have guys that have got agents. Wow.
Yeah.
And let's talk about that. So an agent, we'd run a few brands. We're an agent here. So Whack Management runs 6 or 7 comedians. Where I'm also an independent, but I do have what I call a handler. Eric, have you got an agent?
With
Goliath.
Goliath,
okay,
yeah.
You got an agent, Ryan?
No agent yet.
Okay, so you're not
all
drinking.
All the agents listening.
No agents listen to this thing. And what then you would be an independent, the same as Bernard. Yeah. So what happens is, so Glenn Grant say to you, come in, we like your knowledge. They've actually scooped you. That's a coup to have you at that brand.
Oh, you're so kind.
Isn't it?
Thanks,
though? Because who's got knowledge like yours and storytelling and friendliness at those other ones? They've got promo girls.
Yeah, look. A lot of the brands have got proper whiskey guys and proper whiskey girls on their stands. There seems to be a move towards that. A lot of the big brands have moved towards having the pretty girls, but also having people there.
Or trained. That they really
properly trained presenters, but also there's guys with lots of knowledge. So there's a few of us around, and we're happy to come along and stand at stands and share whiskey. The important thing is to share. So come along and, you know, we give you risk. It's a good way to make friends as well.
I was there, but I'm not allowed to drink. Yeah. Tell me a story. Like, there's too many. Obviously, someone like our friend Theo used to do the 2 hour. You've got 22 minutes.
22 minutes. Well, you know, the thing about whiskey, there's a lot of tradition. So when they make whiskey in a pot still, you've got to keep the copper pot still exactly the same way from generation to generation. But if you know a lot about whiskey, if you start drinking it, you may start falling over. So in Scotland, there was a guy who was walking on the catwalk above one of the stands, and he'd obviously had a few, because they do give you whiskey for breakfast in Scotland. So he had it, and then he fell and hit his head on the copper still.
Did he die?
No, he's died. He's dead. I'm sorry.
Oh. But you didn't tell us that in the story. The guy was going to die. I'm lucky.
It was 100 years ago. It was 100 years ago. We've moved on. Okay. You know, I'm sorry.
So he's working there. The fumes.
Also, what he had for breakfast.
What did he have? Did they do an autopsy?
Whiskey.
Oh yeah, whiskey.
And that was
lunch. The fumes got to him, and he tippled over, and he fell, and he went.
Is that why whiskey is called tipple?
Nailed it.
No, but
so did he hit the thing that you said that the pot can't be disturbed?
What is that?
That's our disco music.
No, you know that big copper pot?
Yeah.
Okay, so he fell and he hit his head on the copper, and there was a big dent. But what happened afterwards, the whiskey that was produced afterwards, they said was the best ever made in that distillery.
because of the accident?
Because of this particular little dent. So every 7 years, they replace the copper lining, and they take a big sledgehammer, and they blix them the side of the still in exactly the same space where the guy's head.
And that's a fun remembrance to say, listen, this thing happened. Any still that comes in here that's in that area will have that.
And it's
how long
a
does it take a still? You'll get next is you when I move this fucking hammer.
Basically, they had to make a sacrifice to get
every
them.
Year.
So
they
that's where it comes from. It comes from that. So there's so many words there. A tipple, he tippled in, and also you drink too much, you get hammered. So there's so many, and it is. You don't know where these words come from, did you, Ryan?
I do now.
I'm just sorry, man. Did you have an actual drinking problem, or did you do it out of health?
You know what? I struggled to moderation.
Wake up on time.
And then I would, you know, it's mostly depression, actually. I would be depressed for like a week afterwards.
Because you know what happens? You miss.
I know that's a buzzkill, but.
No, you know what happens? You miss meetings.
That's the thing, man.
You kind of wake up and your meeting's at 10, and then you arrive at the meeting late, and you smell of alcohol. So you get depressed because you got loser complex.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So you like, someone will say, hey, this guy wasn't firing properly at this meeting. And maybe you're creative. I don't know. What do you do?
Yeah.
I
work in an agency,
Okay, so creative agency, also a little bit of pressure to do other stuff as well.
Yeah.
So, do you know guys that are doing stuff like that? And you say, you know, it's not happening, man. Your personality's changing.
It's just, like, as I said, like, everyone has the blues the next day. But for me, it was like a whole week. And then, like, everything, I was like, nothing's going right in my life. Yeah. It was just, and then it wasn't like sacrifice a week for one night.
So would you say, if someone comes to me after a comedy show and says, jeez, I saw you at Parker's, you were so fucking hammered. And they have no idea that when I'm doing a comedy show, I do not drink. I might act like I'm hammered
to
fit in with the people. I saw Mark Banks do that. I saw, like, the people are drunk, so I'm a sort of drunk to them, so they must be drunk.
So that's a big thing for me, and it's been awesome, actually, is non-alcoholic beer. Because it has such a placebo effect holding a beer, so people react to you. And also, like, the taste of beer kind of triggers.
The problem is, when you're going like to go through a roadblock, you're still going to smell of beer,
but
you're winning.
Yeah, but I'll blow. I'll blow, but...
<'Cause>,
before I even walks out the bread.
Yeah. He has a branded thing as well, Bernard. The castle that brought out a castle zero. Castle free.
Castle, yeah, castle free. Zero. What is it?
And that is a basically a knee-jerk reaction to seeing a market sector of us young guys, or whatever we call it, young guys, you young guys, me old guy. I also drink non-alcoholic beer. Mm. And they looked at it and said, hang on a minute, this is a massive sector. Straight away, because that's how they work.
Yeah, I think it's a comedy show, but let's be serious for 20 seconds. People mustn't go out and get hammered and drive.
Yeah.
Simple thing.
No, that's
Uber, there's Taxify. If you want to sit and drink too much, or drink a bit more than we think
it,
is comfortable,
do it at home
or go to a mate's place or something.
Yeah, move to the Rafa Park where you can just drink wherever.
Yeah, but I mean, like the lunch today, so we go and we Uber there, we Uber back. It's just a sensible thing to do. And then you can enjoy yourself a bit more.
Yeah.
And then you can
see young guys at that festival, let's call it a festival. What is it? It's Whiskey Life Festival. Whiskey, do you see young guys and you look at them and say, man, you're not getting this?
No, I mean, shame. There was like half a dozen guys surrounded one of my promo girls last night. And it started off okay, then it escalated. And they were trolled and becoming obnoxious, and they weren't impressing the girl. So if guys had to see themselves doing that, they're trying to impress the pretty girl, and it's not working because they're trolleyed, they don't know where they are. They're slurring their words.
Yeah.
So they think they're hot stuff.
It just becomes a mess. Yeah.
It's just not good. Right. So try to retain some dignity, and then you can impress
them. Did you step in?
I had to.
Thank you, Pinhall, to suggest simply
that they...
So I mean, you're like a gentleman. Your daughter's 20, 21, 22.
20. Leave her alone.
No, but you understand how these things work as a dad. She won't stop contacting me.
I love how it's just like, yeah, she's 20. Leave her alone.
Yeah, there was no...
Can we just be serious for 20 seconds?
It's another 20 seconds.
After this is the section.
Yeah.
So here's a question. Would they ever be able to make non-alcoholic whiskey? If you really love the taste of whiskey, is that even possible, like chemically?
No, look, whiskey's got to comply with certain laws, okay? And to be called whiskey in South Africa, you've got to be minimum 43% alcohol.
There we go.
Most of the other places in the world is 40% alcohol. So you can't call it whiskey if it's got no alcohol.
Yeah.
That's
the name of it. So there are tastes, because chemically, a friend of mine works at a chemical plant for liquor fruit.
Yeah.
And they basically, if your kiwi fruit has no kiwi fruit, it's got colorant 105 XYZ, and that's because your taste buds think that's what kiwi fruit tastes like.
Yeah, yeah.
But a kiwi fruit, if you licked it and said, okay, what is this? You would go acidity, you go all these things. So they prime your taste buds to think that you're tasting kiwi fruit. The Lipton iced tea flavor, that the berry flavor, is granadilla.
I should. It's
It's got berries in it.
Wow.
One of them, and
mainly
then
granadilla.
Something else, the aging. Well, let's talk, because for comedians, we age.
Yeah, we age.
So I've been aged 47 years.
Are you getting better, though? Are you getting better like whiskey?
You become better with age.
I'm getting better.
No, whiskey stays in a cask for at least 3 years. And what happens when it stays in the cask? We get a bit more mature. It's like people. We get a bit more mature. We get more interesting sometimes. We become a bit rounder, a bit fuller flavored. This is how it works. So, but don't ever judge a whiskey by the age.
Solely on the age.
Yeah. Because there's some fantastic whiskeys out there that are 3 years old, and there's some whiskeys out there that are 6 years old.
Comedian is 22 next week. Yeah. Don't judge him. He's been to Botswana.
Yeah.
And I suppose that would be the same. A sort of a Trevor Noah whiskey, having come onto the scene and just hit it hard. So he's one of those whiskeys everyone goes, you've got to get this. Yeah. You've got to try this. What are Taiwanese? What is Lagavulin?
Cavalan.
What is it? Cavalan? Why do they call it that? Because it sounds Scottish.
Cavalan. Cavalan from King Cod Company in Taiwan. Very nice whiskey. It's very, very hot in Taiwan. So the whiskey that matures in the barrels there, it evaporates at about 10% per year. So if you put 500 liters or 200 liters in a barrel, at the end of the next year, you've got 180. So you basically only keep it for about 5 years in the barrel.
Is that because of the area?
Because it's damn hot. It's like 45%, 45 degrees Celsius in the maturation warehouse.
My friend had shoes, and he used to only tie the one shoelace. And I said, why? And he said, Taiwan.
He nailed it.
Thanks, Ryan. I want to just change this whole show and just have Ryan on. He likes my stuff.
His comedic timing is perfect.
But so
playing the game. That lose becomes, myself and Dave's.
But that becomes not only rare, but people want it, because of there is no more 500 liters. It's only that 180 left.
Yeah, so it's... There's a bottle at the optimum age. It's like people, we get to a particular age, and then after that we sort of start losing
things. Like a sportsman. You want to know that he's going to do the things for you, and after a certain age, they just can't physically do that.
Yeah, so then you become a commentator.
And then have you tasted? I'm not. We don't want to brand knock because same in beer and in comedy as well. We seem to be friends with each other.
Yeah.
There are comedians that bug you if you're on the same lineup and you go don't go on too long, whatever it is. But we generally try and help each other. Is there a brotherhood in the whiskey?
There's a wonderful fellowship in the whiskey world. And most of the guys that have been in the whiskey industry for many years, we'll go sit and have a few drinks afterwards and have a lunch and whatnot and chat to each other about the different things that are going on. But obviously, I think the more modern brand people have become a bit too self-important and they get very, very precious about what they do. You know, it's whiskey. It's there to drink.
If I want to have Johnny Walker Blue with Coke or cream soda, then leave me alone.
Do it with pleasure.
I paid my $7.50 for the bottle, whatever it is.
$2,000. I was just going to say.
You know what happens? Comedians get free alcohol. I have no idea what it costs.
Were you getting Johnny Blue for $7.50, please?
Martin Evans, I'm so used to getting. I suppose it's you as well. A lot of freebies, promo stuff. We say, please try this and write about it.
We get given whiskey to sample. You know, so that. When we sat and we had a whiskey, I had some sample whiskey.
Yes.
We had some of your beers.
Yes.
So the fellowship is there, and we'll all try each other's different whiskeys. But it's not there. If you've got a special whiskey at home, don't let it there gather dust. Don't let it sit there gathering dust.
That's it.
So just sit there and open the bottle.
And you
drink
also
it.
Mentioned something else, which was very important in terms of also for us comedians as well. Don't knock. It doesn't do you any good on the whole. Of your brand, not brand. Let's call it. What do you call it? The category. Let's call it the comedy. To knock another comedian, I figured out. I used to do it. I used to say, oh, I don't like that guy to do it, but it doesn't work for me because the people leaving there going, thinking that you are actually the doers. Because so you don't knock other brands.
Never.
Have you tasted a bad whiskey and thought something's wrong with this? And like the same as beer, sometimes has a puppy dog breath flavor or corn or rice or whatever. Have you tasted whiskey and said something's wrong? This isn't liquor.
Very, very occasionally there'll be a whiskey with a fault.
Because it's true, hey, it's the way it's made. It can't really get wrong.
No, look, it's a high alcohol product, but sometimes some of the very, very cheap stuff.
Yeah, I actually want to ask about that.
Yeah,
because that's what you want at your agency.
Yeah. I mean, if I get back on drinking, I'm going to be drinking the cheap stuff. So, in terms of the cheap ones, like the Harriers and the First Watches and the like, really interesting.
Those aren't even.
Ones,
those aren't even mentioned. Those like, not actually, even cheap.
Harriers is a damn good whiskey. It's cheap, but it's a damn good whiskey. It's made by the guys at Cedric, the same people that make Three Ships and Banes. So Harriers is a fine whiskey, but some of the whiskeys that are made, there's a lot of impurities in the spirit, and those are the things that are going to give you a hangover.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not so really drinking too much that gives you the hangover. It's the impurities from the crappy spirit.
Okay, I heard that about tequila, like the really clean tequilas give you less of a.
That's it, because they've been distilled a few times and it starts getting smoother.
Top tequilas out there.
They are.
Really.
People
tequilas.
That don't understand, we do it as a shot chair. Then you go to the tequila bar in Cape Town and they eat, the one heated up the glass, the other one has a cooler, and you sip it like you would a whiskey or something.
Yeah.
And it's soft, man. It was like a lovely little creamy. Taste.
No, like I remember
whiskey gets you drunk and tequila gets you drunk and pregnant is what they say. But that's a bad perception that it's got.
When, what's his name, Jeff Ross was here when he was doing his shows up here in Joburg, he also said that the tequila in the States is a lot different from the tequila here. Because when the guys drank it in shots, he had his as a double in a glass with ice and everything. And he's like, no, it doesn't taste does back home.
Well, that's the thing. That's a refined palate. And also, as you said, it's an age thing. Like shots are for kids and matric rage or whatever it is, and as you get older you don't do that.
I don't think, like, there's this new tequila newly on the market, something called Espolon, and there's the Don Julio's good, Fortaleza's a good tequila. So there's some really good spirits out there that you can drink as a sipping tequila or make a decent cocktail.
We sat at a bar one night and we saw the White Horse, the other one's Black and White.
Yeah.
So I said to the guy, pour us those ones and then also Jameson's and whatever else was on his bar that he had, so Johnny Walker Black, and I said let's try them, and there was a difference in just the way it's smoothed down it. So you go, but those guys aren't in that market. They're there to get it out at a certain price for someone who likes whiskey with soda or whiskey with something else, not on the rocks. So it's the same with comedy. When someone says, who do you like as a comedian, I'm like, I can't tell you who I like. Your palate's different to mine.
Yeah.
I love a certain comedian. I loved Louis C.K. before he started masturbating in front of people.
Yeah.
But then I still dig him.
Allegedly.
Allegedly
is the
even Bill Cosby, I grew up with that storytelling thing. The palate of me and the palate of you is completely different. And some people say, I came to the comedy club, I didn't like any of the comedians. I'm like, jeepers, how many times do you go to a bar somewhere and you can't find the thing you like? And
yeah, that Eric Jansen guy was shit. Oh, my goodness.
Well, no, that's hectic.
I don't drink whiskey. People come to the festival, I don't drink whiskey.
Someone said to you, they come to the, they've paid, what's the ticket there, $150?
200 rand.
Yeah, and they come and say, no, don't drink whiskey if you got milk. What do they want from you?
But they drink whiskey and milk as well.
They do. That's the Nomad's Golf thing. They get through a lot of that stuff.
That's dope.
They even sponsored, I think, by Glenn Brint.
Glenn Brint sponsor Nomads.
Jeepers. Can't they sponsor this show? Would you like to get... Okay, obviously not in the comedy one. It's not serious. But we should get you... There are 43, I think, podcast shows on this that go into Africa. And we do need someone to just back us. I mean, obviously, the comedy thing, we can relate it to that. And it is fun. And we want a fun brand to involve. So we want to... Find you.
There's
negotiate.
Lots of stuff that we can do.
Okay, cool.
But we can't drink on air. That's a
well, no,
that's
we can.
A problem.
We used to get very drunk in the mornings.
We used to.
And what it works out, we should do. We got to speak about our other shows. But we've got. It was just a bit difficult getting through the show because we start enjoying the beers and then go, "Shit, we're supposed to be talking."
Yeah, we should be talking about what's happening here.
We're supposed to be chatting. And future things. What else is coming up?
Look at the new trends. Tequila's.
Well, what are you going to be? Would you be able to talk about tequila as well as you
do
on
talk
whiskey?
About tequila.
Do you?
Yeah, I talk
what's
about
your
tequila.
What's your magazine called? Your blog.
Well, Drinks Mag is the blog. I write for IOL as well. There's a lot of stuff going on there. So, but it's the Twitter thing is where I get a lot of my publicity and where I share a lot of the stuff, the fun stuff.
So, what's your mission? You want people to know about the category.
I want to grow whiskey as a category and help people understand it, because the more you understand it, the more you're going to be enjoying it. And it's also drink less, but drink better, because it's not cool when people miss meetings and have problems with alcohol. Mm. That's not good. So it's learning more about whiskey in general and spirits in general.
Would you ever go into properly hardcore, like a distillery, if you had a backing or something? Would you
No. I mean, me in a distillery, it's not going to happen. Really. Thank you, but it's just...
My ex-wife said, I can't organize a piss up in a brewery. And it's all I've ever wanted to do now.
To prove her
I'd
wrong.
Like to, I'd go to a brewery, like, do you mind if I organize a piss up? And the guy looks at me like I'm fucking weird. And I'm like, no, really, I'd like to, can we organize this, please? And now I've finally got one guy who's got chairs and tables, and we're going to have a comedy show, and it's going to be called a piss up in a brewery. Because awesome. There's going to be Ubers, and we've got guys from Road Trip involved, so we've actually got this thing sorted now. Because it is your responsibility thing. The first words you said were, of course I write about whiskey. The first thing you said was, drink better.
Yeah, drink less, but drink better.
That's
yeah.
it. And I find I'll have three craft beers and go, damn, those taste good. Yeah. And not anymore trying to finish a case of whatever it was. And not to knock those, because I've always maintained if beer's not me, I can't do you. I don't understand what you're saying. Why is the man at the Castle Brewery different to me? He's working 9 to 5 in his gumboots, doing the same stuff. He can't be, you can't knock that just because it's a different brand.
Yeah.
But also alcohol, I think in a very stressful society, we need something just to take off the edge. So a couple of whiskeys is going to take off the edge. This is what people, I mean, before you guys go on stage, I don't know what you normally do, but a lot of times I think people will just have a drink or two just to calm down and settle into the vibe. Before we start the show, we have a couple of whiskeys before we, you know, just to get into things.
Okay, not a couple.
So how, this is another thing, your speaking engagements. A lot of comedians, I always say to them, don't have the one thing, I want to do stand-up comedy on stage. There are other avenues. You can write for a sitcom. There's at the moment something like Bantu Hour has 7 writers on it. Is that right?
Yeah.
So there's an avenue, and yours is a speaking engagement. So you use humor obviously in your chats, and there's stories you tell that get people giggling. So you've got the in.
Yeah, but I sort of vibe with a crowd. I mean, there was a guy at a tasting I did called Fricky, and he went through the 3 whiskeys in front of me before I started speaking. Because, you know, you're meant to wait and wait for the cue. So he goes, Fricky, and then he started, there was a glass window behind me, and Fricky was looking out, waving at everyone, which was a bit unsettling. And you're sitting there standing in front of an audience of 20 people, and there's one guy waving at people behind you. It's not cool.
So it happens to whiskey guys as well. That's fantastic. You got heckled by a guy who's not even... How did you handle
Fricky
it?
I
gave him more whiskey.
He's Fricky. That's just being a Fricky.
Classic Fricky.
But he was great. He was great. So, you know, because he doesn't drink whiskey, see. Just drinks rum. He just drinks rum, but he went through all my whiskeys. So eventually he got into, you know, this actually doesn't taste that bad. Mm. So he was cool. He says he prefers rum and Coke.
What was his accent like? Do it.
It was fricky.
Ach, yo, this,
I'm not fucking Canadian. I'm not Canadian.
You got your accents.
The thing is, I love me a rum and coke, but this whiskey thing is also quite lekker.
Thing. Yeah. I've had three whiskeys now.
Yeah, I've had all of them.
No, you haven't paid for any of those things. You fucking.
So question, how would you do in a blind taste test? Because I always, when there's like connoisseurs.
Tasting comedians or whiskey?
No, whiskey. No,
you're not going into that thing, tasting people again. That's just like wrong.
No, means
I'm
no.
Trying to move away from that now.
I'm doing it. I'm doing
PC.
It.
No, genuinely, I always am skeptical of, mostly in terms of wine and the douchery that may come, or the pretentiousness that comes with these things.
No, that douchery is massive. Go to that festival.
There's a lot
of great people.
Yeah, look, most of the guys there, 99% of all the people at the festival are really wonderful. And they're, all we want to do is just share the stuff with you. We've got a lot of international guys there. But at any whiskey thing, there's good guys. But don't ever be dictated to. Don't let one guy say, my whiskey is better than the other guy's whiskey, or you can't drink whiskey with apple ties. And that's nonsense. Drink it any way you want to drink it.
It's your life. It's your money. You paid for it.
Don't be dictated to, Ryan. I'm saying don't be dictated to. Dave, me, I'm saying to you.
I feel like you're saying to me.
Stop doing what people tell you to do.
No, but that's that.
Live your dreams.
That is a thing. And also,
it's actually a good thing in life, because we get branded. So many, I see young people like, this is the brand. You must wear FUBU. You must wear Uzi. If you're going to rob a bank, you must wear Uzi.
It's the uniform.
And you look at them, you say, but have you not discovered other music genres? Can't just be hip hop on your iPod.
Yeah. You can't listen to
this. This is what's on.
You're allowed to. Yeah, this is house music.
It's your jam.
But blind tastings is the real. That's a true test of.
So how do you do in general? Because I met you also at Glenlivet, which was one.
Glen Grant.
No, the other one where they had a massive thing where they had these guys come from different bars around the country, and they had to use it in a machine. It was crazy.
What? I don't remember.
The guys pulled.
I'm sorry.
You were a judge. No wonder you remember.
Oh, no. Okay, that one. That was a Glenfiddich. That was a Glenfiddich experimental bartender search.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Let me see, Ryan. If, in terms of comedy, we're not there yet. None of us. I think maybe Goliaths are close in terms of their branding stuff and making things happen.
Yeah.
These guys took a bottle of whiskey and said, we need to make this thing alive. Yeah. So they went to these barmen and said, come up with something. A cocktail.
Yeah.
But you must put on a show. Jeepers, these guys came with a contraption. The one guy made a wooden thing. You poured it in the top there, and it went through all the cocktail ingredients as it was poured.
Oh, that's so cool.
So instead of adding apple and raisins or whatever, as it got poured, these little things just started opening.
Oh,
the bottom of your cup was a cocktail. Shaken with bubbles, and a straw popped in from the top.
Those guys,
they're going to make that machine now.
Did you just say shaken with bubbles? Like,
shaken with
incredible
bubbles.
That is.
You know the monkey from Michael Jackson's house?
Yeah.
He was actually shaking.
He was in the middle of the contraption. He had to press a button.
That guy, those guys won the national competition.
What bar were they from?
Lucky
Durban
Shaker
bar?
In Durban.
Yes.
Lucky Shaker in Durban. I think the guy there was Michael Stevenson.
What are you talking about? It doesn't matter that blind tasting, I find that is a bit of a douchey thing, because you're trying to bust the guy. Blind tasting, we do it at dinner parties. We take whatever wines the guys have got. We label them. We know 1, 2, 3, and 4. Put them and decant them.
Yeah.
That's purely just to take the douchery away from it.
Yeah.
Because one guy goes, this tastes damn good. You aerate tussies proper through that little bubbly thing. Mm. It tastes good. Because the bubbles, the oxygen's on your tongue instead of the dry sweetness.
No, look, it's not cool when people sit and try and make whiskey too complicated.
Yes.
You know, life is complicated. Whiskey is simple. Whiskey is there.
But you could get it right
90%
of the time. You could say this is either this or this.
Sometimes, in the mornings are a lot better. When we do the professional tasting, you start at about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Then your palate is very fresh.
Yeah.
And you don't brush your teeth?
Why does...
In general?
Just sidebar.
So, I've got chewing gum if it's a problem.
Yeah. Are you testing me? Is this a test?
Why did it die?
What's dead?
My laptop died. Too much porn.
No, so some advice. If you've got a bottle at home gathering dust, open it. If it's a very good bottle, phone me. I'm happy to come and help you.
What would a very good bottle? You said the years is important, but not. But also the brand. You'd know.
There's some very good whiskies out there from 150 rands upwards. There's good single malts out there for 270 rand.
I mean,
there's
you mentioned South African ones. You said Baines.
Baines
that's
Three
made
Ships.
Here.
Yeah, very good whiskies.
And our grains and things, are they grown in the Swartland here, in the fields? Or
from the
higher?
Free State. The Baines grains, I think, are from the Free State.
Sure.
It's good whiskey.
So should it be less expensive if it's locally made?
No, there's a lot of work that goes into the local whiskies. Okay. A lot of technology, a lot of effort.
Yeah, Three Ships used to be the one that the sort of guys drank on payday, and then it became a completely different thing.
What happened, Andy Watts imported the stills from Scotland, and he modeled them on the Bowmore Distillery, where he did his apprenticeship. So they're making very good whiskey. So, I mean, like just some of the names that come to mind, like Three Ships and Baines are the good local ones. In Scotland, we've got...
What about ones that are bottled here? They say it's blended there.
A lot of the big supermarkets are bringing in barrels and they're bottling them here.
And they'll brand them themselves with their own...
And they put their own labels on it. Okay. They put their own labels on it.
Is Glen Grant a blended?
Glen Grant is a single malt made in Scotland in the Speyside region at a very beautiful distillery.
Where's Speyside?
That's Speyside, the northern part of Scotland. It's very pretty.
Speyside!
Speaking of supermarkets, I saw the Macro Christmas catalog.
Thanks for bringing it back there, right?
Yeah, no. I've been waiting to ask about this because I saw it the other day and there was a bottle, I think it was a whiskey for $650,000.
Yes.
Have you ever had something like that? Would you open it and drink it? Because I know you said earlier that whiskey is meant to be drunk.
Yes.
But $650,000 for a bottle.
Yes.
Have you ever had something like that?
Yes.
Can you taste?
I think the most expensive whiskey I had cost about 100,000 euros, which is probably 1.5 million rand. And it's delicious.
Putting in your pipe, Macro.
Pauper whiskey.
Did you finish the whiskey?
Look at Eric's eyes.
Did you
I don't have any left now.
What? No, but was it amazing? Was it life-changing? Because that's a crazy amount of money.
Is it still in your system?
It wasn't life-changing.
It didn't ruin
Have you been
this
to the Bastille Bar in Cape Town?
It didn't.
There are whiskeys there. There's one for 3,000 rand a tot.
No,
there's
some for 25,000 a tot.
25,000 rand a tot. And you know what that is? That's full on. That's a dick show. You there with someone like, watch this.
But also, they put a crazy markup on it. So this is $650 from Macro. I mean...
No,
and it's available, at Macro.
Yeah.
Make your festive season.
I actually work for them as commissioner. I still one of these bottles.
You've just written a book.
Here's what happened. When I was working at Macro, the one guy showed me the catalog as well, and I also saw one of these, but I think the bottle was $950,000.
Yeah.
So I asked the guy, what's so special about this bottle? And he was like, no, man, what happens is, with this bottle of whiskey, what you do is every day until the bottle is finished, you just have a shot, like have a shot in the morning.
For Christmas?
No, just every day.
He does that in the morning.
He says, yeah, every day in the morning, you have a shot of this whiskey, and then when it's finished, by the time it's done, all you need to do is drink water, 2 glasses of water, and you are drunk for the rest of the day. I believed him.
This is at Macro. These are the announcers at Macro. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some specials in. We've drunk. There's no more specials. We drank them.
It's rare. It's old.
But we have to finish up. Thanks for
the pleasure. But
thanks for accepting my invite.
Oh, you know, Dave, you hold a gun to my head. I mean, it's like I didn't have a choice. And also, I'm getting a lift back with you, so I have to be nice.
I love how everybody just comes with that story. Yes, Dave, you forced me. Dave, I slept on your couch. Of course, I had to.
But obviously, this
Dave
goes out to you.
Dave, signed
my tit. I signed your
book. I'm gonna put it on the website when it's up and running nicely. Okay. And
do you feel that you got the right knowledge across to people, or did we spoil
it? I'd like to do this a lot more. Hey, I think I'd like to do this a lot more, and. I hope that you guys.
Well, why don't we'll get you on one of the when you're back in Joburg. You're Cape Town based.
Yeah,
there is an actual brand show that talks about brands and things. And if you can bring that knowledge to them, we'll get you back on.
Okay, I'm happy.
Not talk shit, while you're talking.
That's a kind flip. I mean, thanks very much. I appreciate this tremendously.
I think that's sincere.
I'm very, very sincere.
Eric, where are you going to say goodbye last? Yes. Ryan Holder, where can we find you?
Everywhere.
Are you just doing open mics?
Yeah, just open mics.
But you haven't given up your day job?
No, I haven't given up my day job.
So someone actually comes to you after the stage and goes, don't give up your day job. And you go, actually, I haven't.
Actually, I did, hey? Last November, I did for 6 months, and then I realized, oh shit, this is going to work.
I need money.
And went back and I wouldn't say begged for my job back, but asked for my job back.
Okay, cool. And Benoit, are you off to, you're back to the festival tonight? Tomorrow?
Back to the festival tonight. I'm in Joburg next week for a couple of dinners and parties and whatnot.
I love your life, man.
Yeah, shit, rockstar.
Good life. Rockstar. All right, thank you.
Thanks.
My name's Dave Levinson. Who are you?
To summarize, ladies and gentlemen, drink whiskey responsibly, take Uber, and don't drink and drive. This is Eric Janssen. We will see you just now. Goodbye. CliffCentral.com.